Jeremiah 19. Thus said Yahweh, go and buy a potter's earthen bottle, and take some of the elders of the people and of the elders of the priests, and go forth to the valley of the son of Hinnom. Now, in the New Testament, that place is referred to by Jesus when he talks about Gehenna. It literally means the valley of Hinnom. And Jesus uses it as a symbol of complete destruction, but people misunderstand him a bit because he talks about Gehenna, and it's been translated not very helpfully hell in some of the old Bibles, and he talks about it as a place of fire where the fire's always burning, but it was really a symbol of destruction, and it was a rubbish tip, really, where the fire was always burning. So he goes to the valley of the son of Hinnom, to what was later called Gehenna, and he says, hear the word of Yahweh, kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will bring evil on this place, which whoever hears, his ears shall tingle, because they've forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods that they didn't know, they and their fathers and the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents, that is, they killed little children there as sacrifices to their gods. They have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I didn't command, nor spoke it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that this place shall no more be called Topheth, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And so that's why you can understand Jesus uses this idea of Gehenna as a symbol, really, of the place of destruction and condemnation. I will nullify the council of Judah in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies. And their dead bodies will I give to be food for the birds of the sky. I will make this city an astonishment and a hissing. Everyone who passes thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all its plagues. I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, in the siege and in the distress with which their enemies shall distress them. Then you shall break the bottle in the sight of the men who go with you, and shall tell them, thus says the Lord, even so will I break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel that can't be made whole again, and they shall bury in Topheth until there is no place to bury. Well, when he shattered the potter's vessel, yes, it could not be made whole again. But the wonder of it all is that God is later going to say to Israel, although you are broken, I will heal you. Although you've got an incurable wound, I can make you better. Although you're the broken vessel that cannot apparently be put back together, or as Ezekiel sees it, even if you're like a load of bones that are just lying there in a valley, I, through my spirit, can put you back together. And there are situations and there are individual people who appear to be so broken that you can never put them back together again. And that is true in human terms, but God can. And this is the wonder of how he works with people through his spirit. Thus will I do to this place and to its inhabitants, even making this city as Topheth, and the houses of Jerusalem, the houses of the king of Judah, which are defiled, shall be as the place of Topheth, even all the houses on whose roofs they have burned incense to all the army of the sky. Then came Jeremiah from Topheth, where Yahweh had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of Yahweh's house and said to all the people, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring on this city and on all its towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have made their necks stiff, that they may not hear my words. Notice that he doesn't say, I'm going to bring this on you because you have sinned. Sure, God was angry with their sins, but it was because they had stiffened their neck, because they would not bow down and repent. It's not so much the sin that God judges, but the refusal to repent. Now, I don't mean it's okay to sin and then sort of say sorry afterwards. I don't mean that. But I think it is all the same true that God is very sensitive to people's attitude to their failings. We all sin and we will all die imperfect. None of us are going to come to the end of our lives as perfect as Jesus, we will all die with bad habits, sins, and so on. But the question is whether you have bowed your neck before God, and you confess that and love him and trust in his grace. Whether you've made your neck stiff and you hold your head up in foolish pride before God and refuse to hear his words and bow down before him.